Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Beggar from the dunghill and establish him among princes to inherit thrones. And so even tonight we've come with faith in our hearts, we've come with assurance, because we know you are the same yesterday, today and forever. And that which you did in ages past, Lord, we know you will do again, and your name will be glorified. Thank you, Abba Father, in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You may be seated. And so tonight, we trust the Lord to grant us access. You know, Paul said that the glory that is meant for us, he said they are locked in mysteries. And so everyone is supposed to enjoy and operate in glory. The problem is that they are locked in mysteries. And he said the reason is for our own good, so that the princes of this world will not tap into it and corrupt it. And so for everyone who wants to operate in a dimension higher than what is already operating, he must pay the price to access the mysteries that unlock those realities. Because that is for you, it's not a guarantee that you walk it, except as you lay hold on the mysteries that unfold and unlocks them. Because all of the goodness of God that should find expression in your life, they are locked up. And they are locked up for your glory. And so whether you access it or not, it's not God's responsibility. It's actually your responsibility. And this is why it's important for us to contemplate and go through the scriptures. Because these things, they are scattered. A little here, a little there. Precepts upon precepts. Lines upon lines. If you cannot gather them together in the sequence and in the order that opens up the realities, then it becomes a challenge. And so when you find two people walking, the quality of their lives is an expression of the mysteries they know and operate. That's why you don't have to envy anybody. If you know what they know, you will command what they command. If you do what they do, you will access what they access. The realm is governed by mystery. And the kingdom we are in, it's actually a kingdom. I'm using the word kingdom so you understand the severity, the rigidness of its operation. This is not a political setting where you vote things in or out. This is not a democratic setting where majority carries the vote. This is a government that is regulated by a monarch. And because it's regulated by a monarch, your opinion, if in disalignment, does not count. It is not a democracy. It's not based on popular opinion. It's based on the will of the king. And so you must understand what the king wants, align with it, for you to make progress. You know, our era, maybe people like the elderly people here, Daddy himself, who were opportune to experience the era of sovereignty, they understand what kingdom is. We are laboring to read the Bible to pick it out, particles by particles. If you lived in the 50s and in the 60s, you will know what kingdom is. Some things you will not be taught. You will understand it by experience. Because we are in a democratic setting, people can pick things and take to the internet and argue. And the court of public opinion is used to justify things. But you see, whether the Bible said concerning Noah, it said because of Noah alone, his whole generation was judged. It was one man against a generation. And God was not moved that the crowd against one man, he would rather go with the crowd. No, it was not a factor. It was about the government that flowed from his spirit. And so even though Noah was one man against a generation, God stood with Noah and the whole earth was wiped away. That's how rigid a kingdom operates. You know, if you are talking to people about salvation, for example, they tell you, you mean the 5-point-something billion people who are not Christians will go to hell? Yes. They will. If 8 families were spared and the whole world perished, the God that did it before can do it again. You know, people don't know kingdom. The power of a king is tied to his alignment to his own word. And so a king can banish his own son. He will go home and weep. But his word will stand. That's how kingdoms operate. The king himself is under the law. And so when you want to transit in the kingdom, you need to understand the laws that regulate it. If you know it, you will discover there's no bias. Your understanding and your alignment is what gives you access. But because before we talk about transitions in dimensions, maybe I just do a bit of divination and see how far God will lead us. What is a dimension? The Oxford Dictionary defines it from human realm. You know, it's always important to define from human realm before you define from divine realm. I was doing a series recently on marriage. And I said the husband and the wife are not friends. They can build friendship, but they are not friends. Friendship exists between husband and wife, but they are not friends. The husband is the Lord. That is kingdom. You know, if you bring it to contemporary society, they can't understand it. But the scripture did not say the husband is his wife's friend. It said the husband is Lord. And it said, as Sarah called him Lord. It said, you too, you are daughters of Sarah. So your husband is Lord. And in case you say it's an allegorical statement, it's a figure of speech. He went to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. He said, as Christ is Lord over the church. He said, that is... You know, the church is not the friend of Jesus. But there is friendship between Jesus and the church. As the church is submitted to Christ, he said, that is how the wife is subject to the husband. So, in case you say it's a figure of speech, it's not. But you see, if you are in a democratic regime, you can take it to Facebook and begin to argue on Facebook. You can even pick one or two experiences that are not right. Because some husbands are boys, they are not men. And so because a boy maltreated his wife, you can use that boy as your justification. And say, this boy killed his wife, this boy oppressed his wife. Even if 90% of husbands who unfortunately are boys maltreat their wives, it doesn't change the law. It's called kingdom. And we are in light. We are not trained by the American government or their philosophy. We are not trained by the civilization of England. We are trained by Zion. And so even if they change the constitution in America, the Bible cannot be changed. It says heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot or tittle of scriptures can change. And so no matter how they redefine it, the husband is Lord. As Christ is Lord over the church. And then when it came to the husband, he said, love your wife. But he said, love is not a feeling. In case you assume that it's how you feel towards her, I'm not talking feeling. He said, the love in this context is self-denial. He said, as Christ died for the church, he said, that is how you will die for your wife. That means the husband that looks as if he has authority is actually the weaker vessel in the marriage. You wait. And he told the husband, he said, if you don't relate with her with that understanding, he said, your prayers will not be heard. That means your priesthood is under attack if you don't relate with your husband, your wife as a slave. In the position of self-denial, your priesthood is under attack. Now, when you are defining it from the realm of men, you will actually use husband and wife so that we understand. But when you go into light, the definition is higher. Because it's about government. It's about authority. Because when God pioneered the institution called marriage, his priority is not about a man and a woman. Because it was Paul that went into the spirit and began to teach us why marriage was designed the way it was designed. And when Paul told the woman to submit to the man, he said, because of the angels. That means before men were created, God was dealing with spirits and angels. And one of the things that define the civilization of heaven is authority. But you see, time and again, angels rebelled against the authority of God. Because once upon a time, Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne. Because God gave him opportunity. He is a dominion. If you look at the cadre of the spirit realm, you have thrones. You have dominions. You have principalities. You have powers. Then you have messengers. The messengers in light are called angels. The messengers in darkness are called demons. So, Lucifer was a dominion. And a dominion is a prince that has a territory. That's why when God created man, he created him as a dominion. He said, let them have dominion. And because man is a dominion, he gave him the earth as his jurisdiction. The jurisdiction of Lucifer was one third of the angels. And so because he had the privilege of authority in Zion, he could wield authority. He now became creative. And he thought, if one third of the angels are subject to me, I can overthrow God. So he doesn't understand how to handle authority. And so they said there was no space, no place found for you. And he was cast from Zion. And so when God saw that the principalities did not understand authority, he now created a school of the spirit in Eden. And he put a man and a woman there to become teachers of principalities. And so when he told the man, be Lord, he wanted the man to show what it means to handle authority. So that the dominions in heaven, we understand that authority does not make you powerful. Authority actually brings you under government. Because the only way you can wield authority is through self-denial. If you think of yourself, you can't handle authority. And so the husband is actually a teacher in the spirit that trains spirit on how to exercise authority. And that exercise is through self-denial. But when the man couldn't do it, Jesus had to come and marry the church. So he taught princes how to wield authority by dying for the church. And when he told the woman submit, it was not an attempt to marginalize her. Because there are two sides to authority. There is the size of exercise and there's a side of submission. So he gave the man the side of exercising and he gave the woman the side of submission. So both of them are actually in the realm of light, not husband and wife. They are teachers of authority in the school of the spirit. One teaching how to exercise and another teaching how to submit. But that is in light. It's not Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh. I said all of that because I wanted to define dimension from human realm and also demand divine dimension from Zion. And so in the human realm, they say a dimension is defined as a measurable extent of a particular kind. The measurable extent, for example, length, breadth, depth, height. And so the degree to which you measure to an extent is what they call the dimension. They also said it's defined as an aspect or a feature of a situation. And so if we are dealing with a problem, you can look at the social dimension, you can look at the cultural dimension, you can look at the spiritual dimension. Because the thing dimension is about measurement. But when you come into the spirit, a dimension is a realm where possibilities are kept. It's a realm where graces are kept. It's a realm where realities are kept. And so, in the spirit, if you take a step forward, you can come into light. If you take that step backward, you will think you took one step forward. And so when you go back, you should go to where you were. But because in the spirit it's not measurement, when you take your step backward, you will not come to where you were. You will enter another reality. Because dimension is not about measurement. It's about realities. It's about graces. It's about possibilities. And so you can take one step forward and you come into light. Because you've come into light, you can begin to change things and create things. If you take that step backward again, instead of going back to where you were, you can go to sound. And now that you have come into sound, you start traveling. Because sound is a vehicle of transport. And then you take the step forward again. Instead of coming to where you are, or you were in light, you can now move into another operation entirely. Because realities are locked in the spirit realm. And so anytime you step into a new reality, you have entered the dimension. Anytime you step into a new grace, you have entered the dimension. Anytime you step into a new possibility, you have entered the dimension. Because the proof that you have accessed the dimension are the possibilities you command, the graces at your disposal, the realities that you handle. All of those things are locked. They are not available. You know, it takes revelation to teach the word of God, but it takes worthiness for seals to open to you. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah must be worthy before he can open the seal. When a seal is open, a dimension is activated. Because the proof is that realities that were not there before will start finding expression. For example, if I carry a hidden dimension and I come here, somebody may be singing before, and maybe that person carries a prophetic dimension. The person will be singing one song, and as he's singing that song, the eyes of people will open. They will start seeing visions. They will start knowing what to do about their business. Because when she's singing, it's not a song. At that point, that activity she's doing on the stage is not a song. You may call it a song because you are hearing the lyrics. But in the spirit realm, she is opening up the prophetic dimension. And so long as she's singing, angels that are prophetic will be walking. And so you can just sit where you are and you know what to do about your business. She may not even prophesy to you. You can sit where you are, you will know what to do, because the song she's singing is a key to a possibility. Now, she may be singing the song and then I come, take the microphone and take over the same song. I will not change the song. But as I'm singing the same song she's singing, the prophetic will close and the healing will open. And as I'm singing, growth will vanish from people. As I'm singing, cancer will die. As I'm singing, pains will leave people's body. Song, the same. Possibility, different. And so in the spirit, a dimension is a realm of possibilities. In the spirit, a dimension is a realm of grace. And in the spirit, a dimension is a realm of reality. And so what this conference wants to achieve for us is to open us up into new dimensions. The message I'll be preaching tonight is an excuse for a gate to open. It's not about the message, because I'm not a theologian. I'm a custodian. And so when I'm talking, my goal is for dimensions to open. Ah! I'm trying to explain something. If you go to heaven, the will of God is natural. There's nothing you do in heaven to bring the will of God. The will of God rules there. But when you come to earth, if you want to see the will of God, you must pray. Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in what? In heaven." The reason is because earth is a dimension. Heaven is another dimension. And so you can be on earth and the will of God is not happening in your life. They shift you into heaven immediately. Without prophecy, without prayer, you will just discover that the will of God starts finding expression. The dimension itself is a host of that possibility, of that reality. That's how dimensions work. And so when a man wants to really change the possibilities of his life, what he needs is to access higher dimensions. That's why we cannot remain in one place as believers. If a believer is a believer indeed, he has to keep moving from one dimension to another dimension. There is a dimension of fire you carry now that can make you live holy. In the next 5 years, there will be invention in darkness. If you maintain that dimension you have 5 years ago, you will start fornicating. And so if a believer does not shift, the quality of your existence will begin to deteriorate. I'm young, but at least I saw when people didn't dress naked on the street. There used to be a time when people dressed decently. It was the norm in Nigeria. Until a dimension of darkness was opened up and the minds of men were reprogrammed. And they now began to redefine beauty, not in form of character and modesty. They started redefining beauty as the extent to which you expose your private part. Because a dimension of darkness opened. Now, if you were a holy man before that dimension opened up and you don't ascend higher, when that dimension opens up, you will discover that you will start struggling with your walk with God. Because your walk with God was not used to seeing naked women. Now, nakedness has become the order of the day. Immoral talk has become the way of communication. So even the energy that is in society has been corrupted. And so if your righteousness, your purity, and the power of God that keeps you holy does not ascend to another height or another dimension, you will discover that you just start falling and you won't know why. A brother complained to me. He was living somewhere and he was on fire for God. He could pray in tongues 4 hours every day, no matter what happened, until he relocated to a better house. In the physical, the house was better. But when he came there, there was a portal. He now discovered that they choked his prayer life. Somebody who prays on the average 4 hours started struggling to pray for 30 minutes. The physical house was better, but the spiritual atmosphere was dying. And so death came into his spirit. And he began to struggle. The reason is because the level of grace he had, the level of fire he had, was sufficient to function in this latter dimension. Now that he has come into the former dimension, now that he has come into the latter dimension, he will need to ascend to be able to remain the way he was. So he could not maintain status quo because dimensions were changing in the negative supernatural, but it was not changing in light. And because it was not changing in light, he began to sink. Daddy travels a lot. There are many pastors in England that sell food on Sunday. When they were in Nigeria, what they carried was enough for them to be on fire. When they entered England, the energy of the government, the energy of the system, was too strong for the fire they had. And so they discovered that love for money that was mortified before now rose again. And so on Sunday, they had the highest sale. So they had to shut down ministry for some time. And they thought it was for some time. But 7 years passed. They couldn't go back again. They even discovered that praying in tongues became a body. And some of them now have tattoos all over themselves. They are now Rastafarians. They like playing guitar on the beach in the afternoon. Because the negative dimension changed. That's why this conference was put together. So that we will go higher in dimension. Some of you, 3 years ago, you were on fire. Some of you were even on fire when you were in Benue State. You were on fire when you were in Kaduna. But you now came to Lagos. You discovered that there's nothing like light out in Lagos. They walk from 6 to 6 in the daytime, and they walk from 6 to 6 in the night. And so you can go to work 10 p.m. and walk till 4 a.m. and take another shift. You now discover the fire was strong in Kaduna, but in Lagos, the dimension is different. And for you to keep the same fire you had in Kaduna, you need to ascend in dimension. So the Bible said in Psalm 84 verse 7, it said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion. Hear this. They are already in Zion. But even in Zion, they need to go from strength to strength. Because there are 6 layers in Zion. The first layer in Zion is the entrance point. It says you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. That's the first thing. It happened to you in salvation. The second layer of Zion is ascension. In Psalm 24 verse 3, who shall ascend the mountain of God? You came to the mountain as salvation, but you will need something else to ascend. And what you need to ascend Zion is the sound of the trumpet. If you don't hear the voice of God continually, you can't ascend. And if you remain at the foot of the mountain for long, you will discover that even in Zion, you can be a victim. That's why I said, out of Zion, he said, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. That means there are some people who were oppressed. In Zion, they are oppressed. He said, let no one in Zion say, I'm sick. That means there are some people who are sick in Zion. Because they remained at the foot of the mount. They've not ascended. And then when you ascend, he now says, who shall stand on his holy hills? That's what it means, strength to strength. And to stand on his holy hills, he said what? You must have a clean hand. You must have a pure heart. And you must not lift your soul in vanity. Now that you are standing on the holy hills, he now went further in Psalm 91. He said that on Zion, there are those who dwell. He said they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Salvation brings you to Zion. The sound of the word as causes you to ascend Zion. The purity of your heart, the purity of your hand, the lowliness of your heart causes you to stand in Zion. And then intercession and priesthood causes you to dwell in Zion. And after dwelling in Zion, he now came to Obadiah 1:21. He said, Savior shall come from Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. When you dwell in Zion for a long time, you become a judge. So they now send you to take Zion out. And so when you move, anywhere you go, become Zion. And so believers must learn to what? Go from strength to strength. The strength of yesterday will not suffice for today. This is why we ascend in dimensions. The strength of last year will not suffice for today. You have to constantly ascend and go forward so that your spirit, your soul, your body, and your circumstance will be in alignment with the will of God for your life. Because there are many people who are behind the will of God for their lives. Those are the ones the devil buffets. They are not keeping pace with the Holy Spirit. There are many people who are not close to the will of God for their lives. But when you see a man whose life is a definition of the purposes of God, that's a man who is going from strength to strength. And so a dimension is a realm of reality. It's a realm of possibilities. It's a realm of grace where people must constantly stay in order to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. And when you come into a dimension, scriptures necessitate that we go from what? Strength to strength. That's why I said the path of the just man in Proverbs 4:18 is as a shining light. It shines what? Brighter and brighter. Brightness is a reality, but there's another reality called brighter. And so as you are in brightness, you have to keep ascending into brighter, because darkness is also evolving. If you remain where you were, a point will come, you will drown. We've come to this conference so that we can go from strength to strength. We can go from glory to glory. We can go from layers to layers and from levels to levels. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 3, he said, you have encompassed this mountain for too long. You have been in the mountain, but you have encompassed. There are higher layers that you need to come up hither. You need to come forth to higher dimensions. You need to come forth to higher possibilities. You need to come forth to higher graces. And you need to come forth into higher realities. And the way to do it is to rise up. He said, rise ye up. Take up thy journey and go beyond the river Arnon. He said, behold, I have given unto you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon. Begin to contend with him in battle and subdue him and possess his lands. There are certain realities that you need in order to contend with the crisis you are going through now. The problem is that you have not ascended into higher dimensions. Some years ago, it was a normal thing to live a holy life. Now you are struggling with purity. The reason is because you have not ascended. Some years ago, you had enough to provide for your needs, but now you can barely eat. It looks as if the circumstances have grown thorns and briars. Yes, they have. But if you had grown in dimensions, it would have remained the way it is and better. The problem is that believers are not ascending. They remain obsolete and proud of where they were. And they bring past record to contend with present challenges. That's the deception that keeps believers in darkness and bankrupt of accessing what God makes available to them. Past records are good and excellent, but you need current record to contend current challenges. The demons you fought in 1980, they have learned more wickedness. And so if you come with the authority of 1980, you'll be shocked. The crisis you overcame in 2005, those crises have modified. If you come with the wisdom you had in 2005, you'll be obsolete. The realms are evolving, and believers must ascend. And so tonight, I want to teach us the laws that helps us to access higher dimensions, because we need to go from strength to strength. However, I need to quickly make this remark before we begin to consider these laws. Every dimension is governed by a law. If you violate that law, the dimension will vomit you. Ask those who command possibilities. They know the laws they are obeying to stay there. There are laws that bring you there. But when you come there, there are laws that keep you there. I'm going to teach you the laws that helps us to access higher dimensions. But before I begin to show you those laws, I need to let you know that if you come into a dimension, the first thing that will greet you will be the law that governs that dimension. If you violate that law, that dimension will vomit you. You will go back to where you were. Because what keeps dimensions in operation are laws. It's not mercy. It's not favor. Please hear this. We have abused mercy. We have abused favor. That's why we cannot retain any reality. What keeps you in a dimension are the laws that govern those dimensions. You can call it consecrations, but whether you change the nomenclature or not, they are laws because they will never bend. Ask any man who commands wealth. There are laws he obeys. Ask any man who lives holy. There are laws he obeys. Ask any man who commands any form of reality, be it healing, be it deliverance, be it the prophetic. There are laws they obey. Those are called the consecrations of realms. If you come into any realm, the proof that you have moved into a realm is the laws that will change in your life. If God brings you into a realm, you may not even discern it prophetically, but I tell you, every time you will discern it by new laws and new regulations. The proof that you have shifted ground is not even the prophetic word you receive, is the new laws you are introduced to. If you enter a territory, the first thing that greets you are the laws of the land. They are gatekeepers that will insist that you are in alignment with the law of that realm even before you approached it. For those of you who travel, before you enter a nation, you will meet the immigration officers. The laws that permit you to enter, they would have vetted it before they grant you access. And while you are in, you will be in because you are in alignment with the laws of that land. That's how dimensions operate. There are many believers who just want to know what to do to shift, and they negate what to do to remain. You will appear like a shooting star and you will vanish overnight. Because what will keep you there are the laws and the consecrations that govern those dimensions. And the laws that govern a dimension, they flow from three things. They flow from the wisdom of God, they flow from the will of God, and they flow from the authority of God. If you violate those laws, you have compromised the wisdom of God, you have compromised the will of God, and you have compromised the authority of God. Because you have violated these three, even the mercy of God can't keep you there. When Adam was kept in Eden, he was in Eden by a law. Of all the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat. Enjoy the possibilities in this dimension. Exercise authority so long as you are in this dimension. But what will keep you here is your obedience to these laws. If you touch it, you are gone. And the moment Adam touched it, even though God loved him, even though God had mercy on him, he could not remain in Eden. Eden had to reject him. Because what will keep you in a dimension are the laws that govern those dimensions. And so when you find a wise believer, if he enters a transition and he notices that possibilities around his life are changing, be it spiritually, soulishly, bodily, or materially, the first thing he wants to do after thanking God is to find out the consecrations that have changed. There was a time in my life, I started traveling for meetings, and when I'm ministering, I just see something like a vision, or a knowing just comes to my heart. And I will know somebody is sitting there who has a growth on the chest. The growth is gone. What is happening? I started noticing it. I didn't know when exactly it came, but I knew it began to happen shortly after I got married. I can literally tell most of the things happening. And at the same time, while I was entering this realization, I now noticed God became so rigid about my thought. If I look at a man and I think anything contrary to good, it will look as if I'm being judged. I suddenly lost the right to exercise my opinion about people. If I look at you, if you look funny, I'm not permitted to laugh. I'm not permitted to speak sarcastically. I'm not permitted to undermine you. And I didn't know. Before now, I could be jovial and look at somebody and just start laughing. Why did he dress like this? But suddenly, a new set of laws came. I discovered God became so stringent about my thought pattern. I didn't know that the way I thought was what permitted me to operate there. Remember, he said, let no one in Zion say, That means for you to dwell in Zion, your speech will have to keep you there. You can ascend to Zion by clean hands. You can ascend to Zion by a pure heart. You can ascend to Zion by humbleness or brokenness. But to dwell in Zion, your speech will keep you there. If you say what is contrary to the will of God, you will descend. Laws govern realms. And everyone operating in the dimension, there are laws keeping them there. The reason people cannot retain dimensions is because they undermine the consecrations and the laws that those dimensions impose on them. And when you do that, the wisdom that keeps you there, the will of God that you are fulfilling there, and the authority of God that keeps you there is what you have undermined. And because you have undermined it, you lose the right to operate there. And so that realm will leave you. And so a man who is wise in spiritual things, when he notices that the possibilities around him changes, the graces around him changes, the realities he encounters changes, the first thing he wants to do is to glorify God. And the second thing he wants to do are the new consecrations, requirements that he's beginning to perceive. And when he begins to perceive those consecrations, what he will do is that he will turn them to his culture. That's what we call the culture of a spiritual man. The culture of a spiritual man derives from the consecrations that keeps that spiritual man in the dominion that he operates in. But many times, when you find people who can command nothing, it's because their lives are lawless. And so after many years of working with God, you can't trace anything to them because they didn't retain any dimension. If you want to find the man who genuinely retained dimensions of the spirit, one of the ways you do it is that you will trace it to cultures in his life. I heard the story of Babalola. Every 3 hours in his house, they ring the bell for prayer. That is the law that kept him there. If you like, receive his impartation. If you like, receive his mantle. If you don't obey this law, you can't keep that dimension. The dimension will leave you. 6 a.m., prayer goes on. 9 a.m., prayer goes on. 12, prayer goes on. 3, prayer goes on. 6 p.m., round the clock. That is a law. You may pray because you love praying. You may pray because you are in a challenge. You may pray because you want to worship God. But that kind of prayer is not because he loves prayer. That kind of prayer is not because he wants to commune with God only. That kind of prayer is not because there's a challenge. Whether there's a challenge or there's no challenge. Whether he wants to commune or he doesn't want to commune. Whether he wants to seek God or he doesn't want to seek God. That cycle of time gates have become a law to him. And so long as he keeps it, nothing can take him from there. Every dimension you are operating in, there is a law that regulates that dimension. And if your own law is not much, it means your dimension is low. Because the higher you go, the more the laws increase with dimensions. And the laws become more rigid with dimensions. But since I'm not talking about retaining dimensions, I will stop here and go into my topic. What are the laws that makes us access higher dimensions in God? I'm doing one night, so I want to take time just to emphasize some things. Maybe the last 5 minutes we will ascend. I know some people came for fire. Hey. 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 Hallelujah. That makes for transition from one level to another level in dimensions. Number one is the law of prophecy. There are 3 laws I will give you here that makes for ascension as far as the prophetic spirit is concerned. And trust me, one of the fastest ways to shift dimensions is by prophecy. Because prophecy literally has no regard for protocol. As I share, you will see. If you are operating in standard procedure or by protocol, for example, for you to reap, you must sow. But when a prophecy comes, it can excuse sowing, and reaping will still happen. Because the prophecy will become the sowing. And I will show you. Hope you know that under standard protocol, sowing must happen before reaping. But Jesus told us it is possible to reap from where others sowed, to harvest from where others labored. What creates that bridge is called prophecy. There is a nation that was in bondage and in captivity. Women were eating their children. It will take a lot of economic investment to turn that economy around. And even if you are doing that, it will take time. Pastor Femi is a scholar. He's an economic scholar. He knows what I'm saying. It will take a lot to change the economy of a nation around. It will take a lot of restructuring, a lot of investment, a lot of partnership for that kind of thing to happen. But the prophet was lying at home sleeping, and they ran to him in 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 7. And in 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1 in particular, he woke up in a land that was dry. You know, when you are talking about love in the economy of men, the greatest love you will find among men is not between husband and wife. It's between mother and child. Mothers are the greatest expression of human love. There are four kinds of love among men. You have philia, you have eros, you have storge, and you have agape. These four love exist in a mother, and only in a mother. That you will find these four combinations. That's why the Bible says, will a woman leave, forget her own child, a suckling child? It's impossible. That's the highest expression of love. But when you come into an economic hardship where women begin to eat their children, know that there's nothing you can do to redeem that economy. But suddenly, they ran to a prophet, and a prophet showed up. I understand the place of restructuring. I understand the place of investment. I understand the place of partnership. But by this time tomorrow, that's a prophet talking. By this time tomorrow, he said, one cup of barley shall be sold for one shekel. I don't know what you need to do, but I speak because I have discerned the will of God and the economy. Listen, there was a technocrat there. He sat down. He could not help himself but laugh. He said, listen, you are not the only person who respects God. I also respect God. Because as far as I know, there's nothing that provokes increase like the window of heaven. But in this case, even if the window of heaven is open, it cannot happen. And the prophet looked at him. He said, you will see it, but you will not partake of it. When prophecy is in motion, arguments end. Let me tell you, somebody said, you can't argue with result. But there's something stronger than result. When prophecy comes, it's superior to result. Because prophecy goes beyond the result. He said, by this time, tomorrow. And the economy of a nation turned around. And so the first law of prophecy was revealed in that scripture, is to know the will of God and to vocalize it. That's what shifts men from one dimension to another dimension. If you don't know the will of God, you can never shift. But the moment you know the will of God, under the right atmosphere, if you proclaim it, there's nothing on earth that can stop it. In Isaiah 44 verse 26, it says, I the Lord, I confirm the words of my servant, and I perform the counsels of my messenger. When a man discerns the will of God and begins to utter it, that man is about to shift. And so in a conference like this, we have isolated the will of God, and we know that it is the season for your shift. And so the word of the Lord is hanging in the spirit, because as you walk out of this door, you will not be the same person that came in. Maravade, Beleka Hasasina, Barash Davakai. When I came, I wanted to find out, Lord, what are you saying? There are most of you that your prayer life is dry. I speak by prophecy. Fire comes upon your altar. Mambrakato Valakida, Zetekala, Praktevina Paradoske. Hear this.
The devil is trying to reprogram this generation. And one of the things the devil is doing is that he's teaching the younger people to despise prophecy. The heritage of God is preserved by prophetic word. That's why the whole Bible are the speakings of prophets. When God said heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot of my word, he was talking about the prophetic word. Because when the prophetic word go forth, the jealousy of God, the faithfulness of God, the integrity of God, the fidelity of God is invested in it. And so I speak over you by prophecy. The powers that has held you down, spirit, soul, body, and circumstance, they give way for your rising. Hallelujah! Hey, hey. Hallelujah! Hey, 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 hey.
School rob you of your destiny. We respect that, but that's a dimension. There's a higher realm, there's a higher dimension, and the higher dimensions control the lower dimension. In as much as we don't undermine the physical laws we were taught, we function by higher laws, and one of those laws is the law of prophecy. In 1 Kings chapter 7, from verse 7 to verse 14. Elijah was in a brook and the brook dried. 17, from verse 7 to 14. And suddenly, the word of the Lord came to him. He said, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow to feed you. When Elijah met the widow, you would expect that the widow would be a wealthy person. The widow was coming to eat her last meal. But Elijah knew the first law of the prophetic. If you know the will of God and speak it, it's equivalent to the word of the Lord. And so Elijah said in verse 14, he said, you will not surely die. He said, go and prepare a portion of that dough and bring to me. And he said, thus saith the Lord. There was never a time God told him the food will not finish. But he knows that when you are in the will of God and you confirm it with words, he said, it becomes equivalent to prophecy. And he said, thus saith the Lord, the dough will not finish. Where was the investment plan? Where was the plan on ground? Prophecy had come forth. And they fed until the whole season of drought passed. And there was never a time of lack. I don't know that area of your lack. But God sent me to you. And this is the word of the Lord for you. Dry bones will rise again. Please sit down. Tonight is not just fire. I want to give you some understanding. So when you are interacting with the word of the Lord, you will interact with the right heart posture and mindset. The second law of prophecy is to speak as you are commanded. I'm telling you things that can't change. Heaven and earth may pass, they will stand. In Ezekiel 37, from verse 1 to 7, he said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me by the lock of my hair, and took me to a valley of dry bones. And he said, and the bones were dry. I know the condition is really bad. He said, the bones were dry. According to rationality, according to human assessment, he saw that the condition was really bad. And God wanted to test him. And he said, can these bones live? After assessing the situation on ground, even the guy's faith died. He said, Lord, only thou knowest. And here was how dry bones suddenly became a great army. He said, God told him, command bones to join to bones. He said, command sinews to come upon the bones. He said, command the east wind to come into the bodies. And the guy said, I prophesy as I was commanded. And the moment he declared, without anybody walking, without any human agency, he said, suddenly he heard a great sound. And bones began to join to bones. Bones began to join. I don't know where that helper is. I don't know where that possibility is. I don't know where that thing you need is. But tonight, let bones begin to join to bones. Let bones begin to join to bones. He said, flesh came upon them. How did the flesh appear? I don't know what it takes for what God needs to do to appear. But according to the word of the Lord, let flesh come upon your dry bones. And he said he heard a sound and the wind came into the flesh. And suddenly, the people didn't come alive. They came alive and he said they became an exceeding great army. Where did they receive their training from? It takes years to be trained to become an army. How could dry bones in a moment join to themselves? Flesh came, breath came, and life came, and they rose up and also became a great army. It doesn't take eternity for your change to come. In the name of Jesus, by the power of prophecy, I shift you to where you should be in God's calendar. We are not disadvantaged, brothers and sisters. So long as there is prophecy, there is hope. If man can still hear and speak, it means there is hope. And so somebody here, you are already stranded as you are standing now. Before this night is over, there is a miraculous intervention for you. They told you, you will die soon. I came to say differently. You will not die, but live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Receive that life now. They looked at you and said, you are over. You will reply them at old age. You will reply them from the realm of glory. You will reply them from the realm of victory. Those who saw you and gave you a time that you are finished, you will reply them after many decades. Who is it that seeth a thing and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance and shall be holiness, and the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Receive your possessions now. Please sit down. You know, there are meetings where you teach. The power is in the exegesis. But there are other meetings where you shift people. You shift them. The meeting is not necessarily about exegesis. I came to shift you. And as many as can receive. Today is your time of visitation. Go forward and prosper. Thank you, Father. The third law of prophecy. The first law is what? Discern the will of God, proclaim it. The second law is what? Speak as commanded. The third law is under the right atmosphere, proclaim the Rhema word. He said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. What is he talking about? The word. When the word becomes a rhema in your spirit, any direction that word goes, it defies darkness, it defies death, and it creates a turnaround. That's
That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the rhema of God. By the rhema. The mountains can be standing, no doubt, but wait for the rhema. The moment the rhema comes, the rhema is your next level. The rhema is your next dimension. The rhema is your shift. And so in the name of Jesus, go forward and prosper.
Thank you, Father. The first law of accessing new dimensions is the law of prophecy. When prophecy comes, your change has come. He said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Brothers and sisters, hear me. On ground and online, I decree, this is the morning of your life. This is the morning of your life. This is the morning of your life. And so step into your joy now.
I was speaking to them like this. Please be seated. In Abuja. And the word came. He said, somebody will get a land. And in 2 days he will get another land. In 2 days he will get another land. And God will raise him to become a real estate giant. It looked funny. It looked impossible. A brother walked up to me the next week. He said, in 3 days I got 2 lands. I said, it's remaining the 3rd one. The next week he came back. And somebody gave him 22 hectares of land. Please go and find out what a hectare of land looks like. So you appreciate what 22 means. One hectare is 70 plots. 17 plots times 22. Another brother came to me. I said, the hand of God will be strong upon you. He went back home, went on 3 days fast, reading the Bible for 7 hours every day. He finished the 3 days fast, entered another 3 days. This is somebody struggling with fasting from morning till 3 p.m. It can rejuvenate your spiritual life. It can rejuvenate your body. It can rejuvenate your circumstance. And so in the name of Jesus, receive the power for a shift. You know, I'm even bold talking from here because this is a prophetic altar. There are angels of prophecy watching. Every word spoken, they catch it and they guard it jealously. You will not die of accident this year. In your old age, you will bless your children. In the name of Jesus. I saw somebody with a white shirt here that was involved in an accident recently. That's why I made that proclamation from my left here. But he sent his word to Jacob. It lightened upon Israel. And so everyone that's heard and received, it is your portion. The second law for shifting into higher dimension, because a new dimension is actually a higher dimension, is the law of understanding. Understanding is the game changer in our experiences in life. I was with a brother last week in Ebonyi, and he's into palm kernel business. Has about 5 hectares of land where he's planting, I think, 22,000 trees. And he spent so much time in order to get the seeds, almost wasting the whole rainy season, according to my own definition. I said, why did you waste almost all the time? And the guy told me something. He said, the local palm kernels we have here are of 3 species. He called their names, bogus names, I can't remember now, Tenera or something. He said, 1 hectare of land
produces 2 tons of oil from the local palm kernels. He said, but the specie I'm buying is a hybrid specie from Malaysia. He said, 1 hectare of that specie produces 2,000 tons now? 2 tons, I forgot it. He said, but the Malaysian specie produces 25. That means the ratio is about 1:10. Because a tree from the local specie, if it has 5 of the palm kernel boards, the Malaysian one will have like 25. And so, if you have farmers in Nigeria as against farmers in Malaysia, what 100 farmers in Nigeria will achieve is what 10 farmers in Malaysia will achieve. Putting the same energy to work in the same land. What is the difference? The difference is understanding. The people from the other side, they know how to hybridize the potentials of the palm so that its output becomes different. And so when a man wants to shift, one of the laws he must imbibe, apply in order to shift and remain is the law of understanding. The man with understanding will always rule over the one without understanding. And no matter how God loves you, if there's no understanding, you can't ascend. The possibilities people command is a product of the understanding they have. In Job 38, verse 33, the Bible said something striking. He said, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can thou set their dominion upon the earth? It takes a kind of knowledge to be able to superimpose the possibility that is only obtainable in heaven on earth. That means, with understanding, a man can turn earth to heaven. So what makes heaven heaven is not because God dwells there. What makes heaven heaven is the understanding that is at work. That's why the other heaven God created, he put Adam inside. That means a man can live in heaven. And God told the man to dominate the earth. Turn the whole earth to Eden. Earth can become like heaven if we walk in the understanding of the heavenlies. And so you can create your next level, you can create your new dimension if you receive the right understanding. In the same Job 38 verse 4, the Bible said, declare now if you have understanding. That means the authority to make a decree and it stands is a product of understanding. There are no supermen everywhere. There are rather men with super understanding. It is men with super understanding that command super results. Moses was speaking in Leviticus chapter 9 verse 6. He said, this is what the Lord commands that you should do so that his glory may appear. So there are men with a kind of understanding that can make them cause the glory of God to appear at any time. For you, the glory of God can be a wonder. For you, the glory of God can be a mystery. But there's a man who had a kind of understanding with which he could command the glory of God to appear anywhere, anytime. It was all a product of understanding. If you don't have understanding, you will remain in captivity. The greatest form of deliverance you will have is not for a demon to be cast out of you. The greatest form of deliverance you will have is for light and understanding to come to you. If light and understanding does not come to you, you will remain in bondage. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 2, Daniel was speaking. He said, I, Daniel, understood by books the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. And that was how 70 years of captivity began to shut down. Because a man tapped into understanding. The law of understanding insist that you can only have to the degree of your knowledge. That means your knowledge is what determines the boundary of your possibilities. And so before you pity a man, ask him, what does he know? Because your pity can worsen his situation. For example, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 43 to 44, he said, when an evil spirit is cast out of a man, he moves about in desolate places, finding where to dwell. And he said, if he doesn't find any, it will return to the same man. Is that the scripture? Matthew 12, 43 to 44. He said, if the man is clean and kept but empty, he said, the spirit will not enter. Because even the spirit knows, if he enters, you can cast him out again. He said, it will go and get seven more wicked demons. And he said, he will enter that man. And he said, worse will be the state of that man than the previous. And so if you cast out demon out of somebody and you don't give him understanding, your pity has led you to worsening his situation. That's how it is with life. You can see somebody going through poverty and you think what he needs is money. And then you will give him ₦1,000,000. The next thing you hear, it's either he now has HIV, because every night he's looking for a new woman, or he has married four wives that will result in high blood pressure and he will die, or he will buy a car because he thinks his money, his problem is money. The least thing you should worry about in life is money. What should trouble you and give you sleepless night is the quality of your understanding, because the quality of your life is a function of the quality of your understanding. And so when God wants to shift men, what he does is that he creates a paradigm shift. He brings them into a new layer of consciousness, and he brings them into a new level and a new realm of understanding, because understanding controls reality. And so in a conference of shifting like this, one of the encounters you will have is an encounter with light. Not just a decree to shift you, but an encounter that will bring you into a kind of life. Light. A light that will regulate how your day runs. Some of you will leave this conference, every day you will learn something new. Some of you will leave this conference, the encounter you have will be energy to begin to study, because your mind is too empty for the vision you are dreaming of. There are many people today, they want to minister on the biggest platform in the world. If they put you there, what will you say? There are many people today, what they are looking for is the biggest position in their country. If they put you there, what will you do? We are where we are today because somebody is in the highest position. You become a curse to a people if you assume a position you don't have the capacity to handle. And so when God genuinely wants to shift you, what he will do is that he will bring you light. He will bring you understanding. He will bring you insight. And the proof is that that insight will first of all change the quality of your life. When understanding comes to you, it becomes energy in your spirit. It becomes direction to your feet. And it becomes motivation for destiny. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, I decree over you every area of darkness that has kept you where you are. Receive light now. Many people are living in sin because of the light they have. They don't have enough light. I was teaching the other day and I told people, we taught forgiveness and we taught it overboard. We taught the forgiveness of God and we forgot to teach the church the judgment of God. The reason Jesus was on the cross is forgiveness. But the cross itself is a definition of judgment. On every side of forgiveness, there is judgment. And so if you don't balance forgiveness with judgment, you are in trouble. A brother was talking to me the other time. No, talking to somebody who spoke to me. What did he say? He said, whatever he does, God will forgive him. Even if he decides to sleep with somebody's wife today, God will forgive him. That's the kind of forgiveness they taught him. I told him, well, theologically speaking, exegetically speaking, God will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. I said, but there are consequences. Forgiveness deals with the wrath of God, but judgment enforces the justice of God. The wrath of God is that you will no longer be condemned for your sin. But the justice of God is that kingdom can never be committed to you. And so as you keep sinning and falling, you will remain a child in this kingdom. If you read the Bible, everywhere they spoke about forgiveness, they spoke about children. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, my little children, if we sin, not when, because he wasn't expecting us to sin, but in case you fall into sin, he said we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the propitiation for your sin. 1 John 2 verse 12, I write unto you children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. But every time is what? Children. When he came to chapter 3, when he was talking, chapter 3 verse 9, when he was talking to elders, he said, they sin not. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Because there's a realm where people understand kingdom that they bring themselves under government. Because if you don't grow and you keep receiving forgiveness, you will be an heir, but you'll be a child. And in Galatians 4 verse 1, it said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant. That means you are an heir, but you are a servant. That's why demons will keep buffeting you. Because whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. So even though you are the heir of salvation, sickness will buffet you. Poverty will buffet you. Demons will buffet you. Because you are an heir, but at the same time, you are a servant. You cannot rule the authority of kingdom. The authority of kingdom is not for children. And that's not all. When you get into Zion, reward is not for those who are saved. Reward is for overcomers. He said, unto him that overcometh, will I give the right to inherit the nations. Unto him that overcometh, will I give a new name that no man knoweth. And I will allow him to dwell in the paradise of my God. Unto him that overcometh. See, there's no reward for those who are saved. There's no reward for believers. There are only reward for those who are kingdom agents. Those who are overcomers who did the will of God. And so if all you know on earth is forgiveness, you will be shocked in eternity. Even though God's wrath over your life will be taken away because they won't destroy you, but you will be a servant in Zion. Because even in Zion, there will be those who will be in outer darkness. But it's a product of understanding. The realities you command, the experiences you enjoy, the graces available to you, the possibilities around your life are all a product of understanding, not wishes. You cannot wish your way to power. You cannot wish your way to glory. You will understand your way into it. And so in the name of Jesus, the quality of understanding you need in order to shift to the next level, receive it now. How did we get here? Time is flying. Time is a body. Time is a body. Well, since that is the case, I will just take one more law and round up. There's the law of obedience. There's the law of faithfulness. There's the law of honor. There's the law of the anointing. Which one should I take? Somebody said the anointing. There's the law of obedience. There's the law of faithfulness. There's the law of honor. And there's the law of the anointing. Oh, Farahadi Kagala Suza Anda. Let me talk about the anointing. This is the last. Precious Lord Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it said the yoke. Now, when you find people under the water, choking, trying to die, trying to survive, it's because there's a yoke on them. And so the Bible is teaching us that one of the ways to lift the yoke so that you come afloat and experience the goodness of God is when the anointing is administered in your direction. He said the yoke is broken because of the anointing. In fact, if you study Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He said, for God was with him. And in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 and 19, Jesus himself came out giving a manifesto. Because there were three times Jesus gave manifesto in the scripture. The first manifesto Jesus gave in the scripture was a manifesto that was done in eternity past, before man was created. That is in John chapter 10 verse 10. He said, the devil cometh not but for to kill. Because Jesus needed to educate humankind that, listen, spirits are coming to you. Spirits are coming to your realm. Your realm is now the vista of manifestation. This is the most popular realm in the realm of God now. God dwells in the cycles of eternity. And if you study the scriptures and you understand spiritual archaeology, you will know that there are many realms created, many civilizations created, and many ages created before our age. God didn't begin creation with men. Many ages have passed. And if you study Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, when our age is accomplished, this age will be rolled away. And God will start another project. Because his creator, it will continue for all eternity. That's how bogus God is. And when we are done, some from our age, we live with God in heaven as our own legislators. The true ecclesia is not on earth. The true ecclesia is in Zion. The Bible said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said they will sit in the world to come in heaven. And he said men will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west to honor them. He said to the 12 disciples, he said, you will sit with me on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, when Jesus was transfigured, Moses and Elias stood with him on the mountain and they were telling him what will happen to him. And in Revelation 10:19, when John went to heaven, he saw somebody, he thought it was an angel. And he wanted to worship him and he said, no, worship me not. He said, I'm one of your brethren. When the earth is over, there are certain overcomers that will now begin to live with God in heaven. And there are others who will be sent back to the new earth, who will rule from the new Jerusalem on earth. And then there will be other nations apart from the new Jerusalem. That's why I said in Revelation 22 that the trees that will grow on the streets of that kingdom, he said it will be for the healing of the nations. So there will be nations, there will be the new Jerusalem, and there will be representatives on thrones in Zion. That's the order of the world to come. Where you belong to is your choice. You can choose to live on thrones. Like Paul, who said, I've run my race. I've finished my course. There remained for me a crown. Those ones dwell in heaven. They are the thrones that will represent the earth realm. And then there are those in the New Jerusalem that will fellowship with God forever and ever. And then there are those who will be in the nations that will still be requiring healing. So they will cut the trees from the New Jerusalem and take to them. If I don't make it to Zion, I must be in New Jerusalem. I will die here. If my head needs to be cut off, let them cut it off. But I must. If I don't make it into the New Jerusalem, I must be in heaven as an ambassador of earth. Because there will be representatives of earth in Zion. But the first manifesto Jesus gave is that before the civilization, the age of men began, he said there was a manifesto between the prince of darkness and the prince of light. And here's what the prince of darkness said. He said, I will come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so those of you who think there's good in the devil, he said, the end has already been known by those who have understanding in life. They know the agenda, the modus operandi of the devil. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life
and life to the full. That's the first manifesto of Jesus. He was talking to us about what happened before the age of man was created. And true to his word, they came. Because in the garden, the serpent came. In the guise of deception. Did God really say, you should not eat of all the fruits in the garden? He said, come on, you will not surely die. He said, God knows you become wise. And the man thought the devil was a good ally. It's because he didn't know the manifesto. If he knew, he would have known that this thing is death and destruction. And after he came, Jesus also came and gave us salvation. The second manifesto of Jesus is in Luke 4:18. This manifesto is not about eternal life. The first manifesto is about eternal life. The second manifesto is about the anointing. The third manifesto is about rapture. He said himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And he said those who die, they will be raptured first. And he said we that are alive will be changed. So there is a manifesto for eternal life. There is a manifesto for the anointing. And there is a manifesto for rapture or transfiguration. But this is a manifesto for the anointing. In Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And he began to show us transitions into next dimensions. Number one, he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. That means those who are empty of God in the spirit. Because poverty is not lack of money. Poverty is lack of God. He said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul. According to God's standard, the degree to which you know God will now affect your body and your material things, your circumstances. But what the devil does is that he said, don't know God. By court, I will give you material things. And those who are not wise, they seek those things. But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All other things shall be added. And so he said, he came to preach the gospel to the poor, those who don't have God, so that they will now receive God. That is a next level for the spirit. And he went further. He said, to preach deliverance to the captive. That is next level for the soul. You have been trapped in darkness. And because you have been trapped in darkness, lies, hatred, immorality, gossip is your way. But he went further. He now said, to open the eyes of the blind, to unstop deaf ears. He entered bodily manifestation. And then he said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so one thing the anointing comes to do is that the anointing comes to shift you from where you are to where you ought to be. That is why it is wisdom to receive the anointed. He said, whoever receives you receives me. And he said, if you step into a house, if they receive you, let your peace abide. He said, but if that house is not worthy, your peace will go with you. And so the third thing, of course, which I'm dealing with now, that creates for a shift, is the law of the anointing. And that's why I say, believe the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe in his prophet, you shall prosper. Anyone who comes with the anointing comes with your shift. Anyone who comes with the anointing comes with your promotion. Anyone who comes with the anointing comes with your next level. It is your job to discern and to receive it so that you can move. In fact, when God wants to shift you, one of the things he does is that he sends the anointed in your direction. But there are three laws about the anointing. Because in the New Testament, we don't just have anointed vessels. Every one of us who have the Holy Spirit on our inside also carry a measure of the anointing. And that anointing, if nurtured, can create possibilities in our lives. But there are three laws that govern the anointing. The first is that God must be with you. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. If God is not with you, that your anointing will either be corrupt or it will not produce results. Because the reason Jesus was a philanthropist
was because God was with him. So the law of the anointing is that you cannot operate the anointing outside of God. God must be with you. The second law of the anointing is that God must be glorified. In John chapter 2, from verse 7 down, when he turned water to wine, they said, "This be the first miracle of Jesus." And he said he did it and his glory was made manifest. The idea of the anointing is not to glorify the anointed. It's to glorify the Lord. And so anywhere the anointing works correctly, God is glorified. If man is glorified, something else is working there. Because Balaam had two frequencies. He could operate divine frequency and he could also operate divination. If God is not being glorified, something has gone wrong. And then the third law of the anointing is that it must be about others. In Luke 4:18, it was never about him. It was about the poor. It was about the blind. It was about the oppressed. It was about the brokenhearted. When these three laws are in place, then your next level is about to be activated by the anointing. There is a measure of anointing you carry in your spirit. Everyone who has the Holy Spirit now carries the anointing. But you see, the reason that anointing cannot provoke your next level is because God is far. When you wake up in the morning, the Holy Ghost invites you to the prayer altar. You are too busy to go there. You think it's by running to work that you will prosper. If you run to work, you will run back. There is something called toiling. Toiling means working hard without the blessings of God. And it is not hard work that prospers men. It is the blessings of God that make it rich and added no sorrow to it. And so, if you know that your job is early, wake up earlier. Because by all means, you must be with God for what the oil that is made for your lifting to function. If you are not with God, that oil can't function. And then number two, it must not be about self-glorification. We are in a generation where everybody wants to be perceived in a certain way. That's why you see all the pressure, lying, exaggeration, manipulation, creating of impression online and everywhere so that people can see you in a good light. They say, "Woe unto you if all men speak good of you." If it is not about glorifying God, the anointing in your life can't shift you. And even if you come under another anointing, you may resist it. Because if it's not about God and about you, many times it will be difficult for the anointing to rest. Hannah was praying for a child for a long time. The anointing on Eli had got dormant. But the moment Hannah came and said, "It's not for me. Give me a child, I will give him back to you and he will be your prophet." Suddenly the anointing of Eli began to boil. And Eli looked at her, accused her because discernment had gone. And he said, "No, it's not. I'm not drunk." A man without discernment, the moment somebody became selfless, the anointing came alive. He said, "Go, your prayers have been answered." And true to his word, the woman came back with a child. And not just that one, five others followed. Because when it becomes about God and about others, the anointing begins to pour. You can stir the anointing on your inside enough to handle not just a nation, but the whole world. You can affect people from different continents and different territories if only you will give God a chance. Not just to be with you, but for him to be glorified and for others to be made better. Most times, it's our selfishness that keeps us where we are. Find somebody praying in tongues as if he wants to kill himself. 99.9% of that prayer is about him and his children. Meanwhile, that very church where you are praying, the work of God is suffering. You don't care. As you step out of the street, the little money you have in your pocket, God wanted you to become an answered prayer to somebody. It will cost you nothing to just share, but you cannot see that person. And you become too selfish to see the help of God. And so when God wants to shift us, what he will do is that he will bring us to that point where we understand and align with the law of the anointing. And the moment we do, things begin to change in our life. There's somebody seated here, God is still far from you. You don't even know when last you prayed. When they say pray, you say, "Kai, my brother, I need to hustle." You are in the kingdom of light. These are the laws that make for light to work in your advantage. You don't know when last you sat in church for 2 hours to hear the word of God. If they check your house, there's no Bible there. And if they find anyone by mistake, which is the one your mother was using? Because usually, mothers are the only spiritual people in many homes. That Bible, the dust that will be on it, if you shake it, it will fill the whole room because no page has been opened. It said, draw near me and I will draw near you. Your next level is tied to your closeness to God. Because most of us are spiritually rusty. We come to God, open our hands, but what God is seeing is our greed and selfishness. And that he resists the spirit. Some of us, we have become so callous towards others that God has no reason to empower us. Because if he does, we will not just ignore others, we will rather begin to frustrate others. There are many people that the little empowerment God gives them, their pride and glory is that they can destroy people. You cannot count how many people that are obviously doing well on their account. But you can count 1,001 people that went down because of them. They even brag that they destroy people. Such people are not candidates of divine lifting and empowerment. If you want to enter the next dimension and you want the anointing to work for you, God must be with you. God must be glorified in your life. And because of you, the life of others must become better. If you start doing this, before a prophet approaches you, the anointing in your own life would have been activated enough to shift you. But many times, because these laws are not obeyed, even if a prophet pours a drum of oil on you, nothing happens. Nothing frustrates a man of God like praying for somebody who cannot receive. Imparting somebody who cannot receive. You can take him to the mountain, pray all your heart out. Nothing happens. Call him, hug him, lay hands on him. Sometimes you literally press him, let something enter him. Nothing happens. The heart is like a stone. The heart is so locked in selfishness that nothing happens. But as you drop those garbage tonight, there's an oil that will move in your direction. Ah! Unto the one upon the throne, hallelujah, sound, we raise a sound, for he is God and God alone, for he is God and God alone, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now unto the upon the throne, now unto the Lamb upon the throne, we raise a sound, we raise a sound, we raise a sound, we raise a sound, for he is God and God alone, for he is God and God alone, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kinds of angels that work with me. The first kind of angels that work with me are angels of fire. One of the things they do is that they coat my walls with fire so that they pierce the heart of men like arrows. And so they set men on fire to journey in the pursuit of God. And when a man begins to seek after God, what happens is that his ordination is activated. That's why most places where I go to minister, one of the things that must happen is that ordinations are activated. Prophets emerge. Apostles emerge. Teachers emerge. Leaders. It stirs them into the pursuit of God. And they begin to hear the echoes of eternity. They begin to hear things that are not mundane. They come out of their ecosystem and they tap into another frequency to hear things that are consistent with the movement of God in their soul. The second angels that work with me are angels that prosper. People just hear, and as they hear, things begin to happen around them. They can't explain. They are not asking for anything, but things just begin to happen. Because those angels go to work. And the third angels that work with me, they are angels that provoke hunger and burdens for encounters. And so when people come under my atmosphere, one of the things that happen to them is that encounters become natural to them. The first thing that will happen here now is that the anointing, the fire, will begin to rest on some people. I'm trying to keep it like this because we're out of time. I want to lay hands on these people. There is a fire that is brewing in the spirit because God wants to raise functionaries. There is a gap in the spirit. There is a gap. The fathers are handing over touches. The fathers are transiting. But there are no worthy men who can open scrolls. It will take burdens, hunger, and summons in the spirit for men to lay hold on mantles again. And so there are many scepters in the spirit, and there are many ordinations that men have not tapped into. And so tonight, I bring you the witness of fire. Ushers, I want to lay hands on 7 people now that the fire of God will come upon. Their hearts are burning. Their hearts are burning. Their hearts are burning because there is a scepter they are about to lay hold on. There is a destiny and there is an ordination that is about to come alive. And so such as I have in the spirit, wherever you are, that you are a candidate of fire, there is a dormant scepter, there is an ordination. Now, in the name of Jesus the Lord, I call you forth. Bring them here. Pate kapatara. Vivify. I release the fire of the presence. Reine kakira. Barakatakaska. Vivify. My. Sata. The fire of the presence. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his train filled the temple. And I saw also the seraphim. It said they caught his tongue with the coal of fire. The coals of fire. By the Spirit of the living God, take that fire now.
in the spirit. You used to be a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, but the altar is dead. There's about to be a rekindling by the spirit. Every altar here that has become ashes, altars that should be speaking in the courts of heaven, altars that should be speaking in the realms of the spirit, altars from whence gatekeeper should mount, gatekeepers, they become dormant. Now I speak over you. Every dead altar, every dormant altar, every dying altar, and every altar that has become ashes, in the name of Jesus, take that fire now. Dying altars, altars that have become ashes, in the name of Jesus, I set you ablaze again. Receiving a rod, you are about to wield an ancient rod in the spirit. Your priesthood is about to come alive. The affairs of life, the cares of life, they've choked your altar. Now, in the name of Jesus, angels of the presence, such that stand in the presence of God, they minister now from the left to the right, from the front to the back. Every dormant altar, catch fire now. Ushers, help them. Barakadona Sabakira. Verato Valakade. Zilagaya Tatabana. Zetetekabara Gatina Sanda. In the name of Jesus. The second angels that minister with me are angels that prosper circumstantially and bodily. And so hear me. Every door shut against you, everything taken from you, in the name of Jesus, right now, there is a wind hitting you now, like the wind that brought the quails to the camp of the Israelites. In the name of Jesus, step into your inheritance. Step into your inheritance. I command closed doors open. I command closed doors open. In the name of Jesus, everything stolen from you, receive seven portions. Ushers, help those coming under the anointing. Patakabaras. Help them. If a thief be caught, he shall return sevenfold. Receive the sevenfold order of blessings. My Lord of Ark. Sahila Ambre Nakadosh. I decree marital breakthroughs. I decree financial breakthroughs. I decree breakthroughs in your health. Every standing, long standing infirmity, they go down now. In the name of Jesus, every long-standing infirmity in your life preventing you from entering another level of experience in God and in the fullness of life. In the name of Jesus, now I command those chains of infirmities break from their bodies. I command growth to vanish. Blood conditions be healed. Organ infirmities be healed. Pains in the body be gone. Eyes that couldn't see, see now. Ears that couldn't hear, hear now. In the name of Jesus, be mantled with strength. Receive strength now. Receive strength now. In the name of Jesus. Breakthroughs in your health. Thank you, Father. And finally, as you step out of this place, the Lord himself impregnates you with his body. Only the will of God will define your life. I command enlargement of spiritual wounds. Receive the will of God and receive the power to walk therein. In the name of Jesus. Ancient infirmities, arthritis pains, on the back, on the neck, all kinds of pains, they are leaving your bodies now. Growths in the body, in the tummy, in the intestine, all forms of irregular growth, I command them to dissipate now. Mariva Ilakona, Zedegaya, Pariska, Branda Zozash, Pariada Valakazira, Brakadon Zagira, Barakte Dagaziza. There's a garment of favor coming upon someone. There's a garment of favor. The doors open now. The doors open now. The doors open now. By favor, Elakwa, Zezakabana, Mosh Kedaya. In the name of Jesus, towards the back there, I'm seeing somebody who has labored in ministry, but nothing is working. Pastor, pray, this is a holy man. Towards the back there, there is a door opening for that person. You are a minister, you have been in ministry for at least 10 years. Laboring in heavy place, prayer, fasting, but the doors are shut. He said, the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. In the name of Jesus, he that lifted the beggar from the dunghill and establishes him among princes to inherit throne, that hand lifts you up now. Come up hither. Every form of lifting you require, then the hand of God is stretched in your direction now. Be lifted in the name of Jesus. Please bring that minister here. Let him make contact with the altar. There's an atmosphere here. This is not a ritual. This is not a ritual. Something is open over this place now. I'm seeing somebody close to the door there that has an ulcer that will not go. A stomach ulcer that has lingered for a long time towards my left there. That infirmity just shut down now. Where are you? There's an ulcer. Please help the sister. It just ended now. Thank you, Father.
There are many doors opening for people. I'm seeing somebody on the right row here. You have a scholarship, you are supposed to go out, but the visa will just not be granted. You have paid money, they had to return your money back to you. You've gotten another scholarship, but the door will not open. Hear the word of the Lord. I command every door shut to you. Open now. Your life. If you were suppressed, if you were held down, this is your deliverance. And if you were doing well, step into a higher realm. In the name of Jesus. Those of you close to that stand, that camera there, towards my right here, I'm seeing there's an arc there. I'm sensing an oil move there. God has told you, you are a young man, the door of ministry has opened, but there is fear in your heart. You will leave everything for ministry, but you are afraid. You have been seeking confirmations upon confirmations, confirmations upon confirmations. You are about to enter your 30s. And the Lord said, it is now. Where is that person, please? I just need to pray for you quickly. I sense an anointing traveling there to lift you up and to break that fear. Just stretch your hands towards me, brother. In the name of Jesus, the yoke of fear is lifted. And so the same grace that is operational in my life, take right now. Lift your hands toward heaven. Give the Lord thanks for what He has done. And for what He will yet do. Give Him thanks.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.